reminded of a quote that I read from Henry Nouwen this morning. And Henry Nouwen's quote deals mostly with ministers, but I think we can replace the word ministers with any Christian. Listen to what Henry has to say about prayer. Very few ministers will deny that prayer is important. They will not even deny that prayer is the most important dimension of their lives. But the fact is that most ministers pray very little or not at all. They realize that they should not forget to pray, and that they should take time to pray, and that prayer should be a priority of their lives. But all these shoulds do not have the power to carry them over the enormous obstacle of their activism. There is always one more phone call, one more letter, one more visit, one more meeting, one more book, one more party. Together, these form an insurmountable pile of activities. The crisis of our prayer life is that our mind may be filled with ideas of God while our heart remains far from Him. Real prayer comes from the heart. It is about this prayer of the heart that the Desert Fathers teach us. I want to admit to you that there is always one more thing to do, isn't there? That's not just true for ministers. I think it's true for every person. There's always one more thing that needs to be done. And the sad thing is that we're always working on the one more thing than we are sometimes working on what is the best thing we can do for ourselves, for our church, for our nation, and for this world, is spend time in prayer. As I listened to the song, what did it say? It said, sweet, what? Hour of prayer. How many of us would take an hour to spend in prayer? Maybe a fleeting moment, but sweet hour of prayer. I share that with you because it was, it just, as I started to hear the song, I realized how true it is for ministers. And I'm sure it's true for all of us that we don't spend as much time in prayer as we should, or even as we could. Because there is always one more thing that needs to be done. Sometimes it would be good to remember that a year from now, nobody would know that you didn't wash the dishes for 30 minutes. But they might be able to tell by your Christian walk whether you spent time in prayer. Think about that. Because I want to share with you today part of Psalm 26, which is a prayer of David. So listen to these words, verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 26. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I've trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with the hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. What an incredible prayer. It's incredible for me in a couple of different ways. David speaks awful boldly here. And David speaks very boldly about his great trust in God and the firm commitment he has to live a holy life. He speaks about his great trust in God and a firm commitment he has to live a holy life. He even says in the midst of his prayer, Lord, I have done this. I have done this. So David speaks very boldly. And he says, I have trusted on your faithfulness. I have trusted in you, Lord, and I've not faltered in my trust for you. It has been a struggle for David, though, to live this way. And many times in his life, he has failed. I mean, if you know the story of David, it makes me wonder, how can he say what he says in this prayer? He says, I've lived a blameless life. I know the stories. No, he hasn't. There was especially one event in his life where he broke 5 of the 10 commandments in one action. I don't count that a blameless life. So how does David come and pray this? See, it's been a struggle for him to live this way, and many times in his life he has failed. But yet he still comes before God and says, here I am, and Lord, I've done everything the way you wanted me to. There seems to be a disconnect between what David prays and the life of David. I do know, though, that Scripture calls him as a man after God's own heart. Maybe there's something more here. And one of the things that helps me to see that maybe there's more is verse 2. And I just want to read that for you again. Listen to what David prays. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. You see, David opens himself to being tested, tried, and examined. He opens himself up and he says, God, test me, try me, examine me. Now there, for me, is probably the boldest part of this prayer. Because he does not pray, Lord, keep me away from danger. Lord, keep me away from any problems that I have, or any problems that might exist for me or for the kingdom or for my family. He comes and says, test me, try me, examine me. What is David asking for here? David is asking to have problems in his life. Now, how many of us will sit down and pray that? I think we would pray the other way, wouldn't we? Lord, don't let me come to a time of testing. Don't make anything in my life try me in any way. And please don't examine my heart and my mind. Because, Lord, there you will find things that are not good. What an incredible prayer. Not only does he say that he's always lived blamelessly, but then he opens his life completely to God and says, have at it. Bring to me difficulties. Bring to me problems. Bring to me situations where I must trust deeply in your faithfulness, Lord. Are we ready to pray this way? Are we ready to open our lives in this way? I just spent some time this morning just thinking about, what does it mean to, God, test me. Go ahead, do it. I don't know about you, but I love to study. I don't know, some of you don't. But I love to study, and I will study just about anything. And if I don't know anything about it, I want to study about it. And I want to learn more about it. And I want to seek in deeper ways. What does this mean? So I've studied far and abroad in many different directions. Doesn't mean that I like to take a test. How about you? Tests can be incredibly fearful things, can't they? I remember sitting before a board of ministers and lay people 21 years ago. My ordination board. Not having a clue of what question they might ask. I mean, I knew some things that they might ask. But I really didn't know. And I had to answer the questions to the best of my ability for that moment. What kind of questions were they? There were questions about running the church. There were questions about the Bible. There were questions about theology. There were questions about what kind of leader are you? There were questions about, do you feel called by God to become a minister? I want to tell you one of the saddest things that happened to my ordination, though, or my ordination board, was there was another gentleman that they asked to attend my ordination board who they had questioned about a month previously, and he couldn't answer a single question the board had, and a church wanted to ordain him as their pastor. And they asked him to attend my board because they felt like I would be able to answer the questions so that he could hear what the answers to the questions were and they could call him back later to see if he could repeat my answers to their questions. I don't know about you, but I don't like being tested. I was pretty confident walking into that room knowing that I was going to be able to answer the questions. But it was still an incredibly nervous moment. It's something I had prepared years for and studied deeply for. So to come before God and say, God, test me. Oops, maybe not. Lord, I don't like tests. David says, try me. Try me. See if I have the character that you need me to have. See if I can stand up under pressure and answer appropriately and not go off the deep end with a very rash or sarcastic answer or bad answer or anger. Lord, try me. And probably the one that most of us don't want anyway is, Lord, examine every piece of my heart and my mind. That's been something that has challenged me for years. Because God is able to dig in my mind and in my heart and find things that I have covered up, that I have denied and will not admit to myself. And God says, let's talk about them. No, God, I don't want to talk about those things. They're the past. They're gone. Yes, I did wrong, but I don't want to talk about it. And David says, examine me. Go ahead. Look. See what you find. Show me. Wow, what a bold prayer, isn't it? For a man that did have problems in his life, did walk the wrong ways at times, did commit adultery and send the woman's husband off to the front lines of battle so that he would be killed to hide his adultery. And David prays what? Lord, I have been blameless. You know, I think this prayer is a worthy goal to work toward. Because David finds a number of ways to live the holy life. He says, I don't sit with the deceitful. I don't associate with hypocrites, those who pretend to be one thing when they're really another. He says, I hate the assembly of evildoers. I wash my hands in innocence. I go about your altar. I attend worship. I'm there. I'm present. And probably the most challenging ones for our day and age. I proclaim aloud your praise. I admire Brother Rick. I know there's not a time that he has gone to have one of his chemo treatments that he has not praised God in the midst of the people that have been there and said how good God has been to him. Haven't walked where you are walking, brother. I hope and pray that if I ever have to, I can do it as well as you have. Because I admire you. And not only that, he has told people about Jesus Christ the whole time. And that's the next thing that David says. I've been telling of all your wonderful deeds. Folks, we need to be out there praising God and proclaiming God and telling people about what God has done. How will they ever come to Jesus Christ if we don't? And I'll just give you my life as an example. How did I ever make it to age 18 without knowing about Jesus Christ? How'd that happen in a world where we have so many churches that are free to proclaim the praise of God and the testimony of God? How does something like that happen? It happens because the church folks don't tell. How sad is that? What does David say? Test me, try me, examine me, show me where I haven't lived right so that I can correct it. David's prayer here is a difficult prayer to pray, but it does provide us with ways to measure our walk with God. It provides us with ways to measure our walk with God. Are we proclaiming? Are we telling? Are we going about the altar of the Lord with a heart that says, God, I love you so much? Are we washing our hands of the sickness of this world? Some of you probably are tired of hearing that, I'll bet. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Are we washing our hands of the sickness of this world? Not just diseases and viruses and bacteria. Are we opening our lives to God and letting God say, right there is something we need to deal with. I think that's why David can pray this prayer. Because David says, I'm going to open my heart and my mind to you completely. Are we ready to do that? You see, that's where prayer for me is not just what for many years I've thought of as a laundry list. You know what I'm talking about? You write out this list of all the things that God needs to fix in the world, and you come to God and you repeat that list to God every time you come in prayer. Because it says we should be persistent in our prayers. So every time I come with my list and say, Lord, this is what needs to be fixed, and this person, and this situation, and these things, as if, sometimes, God doesn't already know they need to be done. It's almost like, Lord, I just found this today, and you need to fix this. Don't know if you knew about that. But the other part of the prayer that oftentimes we miss when we do pray is, Lord, examine me. Show me. Help me to deal with. Help me to change. Help me to take a risk. Help me to tell about you. And then just sitting patiently and waiting for what God has to say to you. Imagine for a minute those of you who raise children. And those children come to you and ask you for a number of things. And you go to reply to them, and off and running they go. How would you feel as a parent? They just come into my presence and they've asked me for a great number of things, and I was getting ready to respond to them, and off they go. You know, that's what we do to God sometimes. God's getting ready to respond. God's getting ready to tell us. God's getting ready to show us. And we go, amen, and we're off to the next task in our world. There's no silence. There's no opportunity for God to speak. There's no opportunity for God to share. And off we go. And I think sometimes God just says, well, maybe one day they'll stand still. And I can tell them. Maybe one day they'll be here for longer than a breath. And I can help them. Prayer is not just a laundry list of telling God what needs to be done. Prayer is like David does here. Test me. Try me. Examine me. So I want to leave you with this question. Are you willing? Are you willing to open your heart and mind to God to see how you can improve in your Christian walk? Are you willing to open your heart and mind to God to see how you can improve your Christian walk? There's not a one of us that doesn't need to take a step forward in the spiritual journey. And God wants to help us with that. Are you willing to open yourself completely and let God go right there. Let's work on this one today. Now, I do want to tell you this, as you might say, Pastor, I'm fearful of opening my heart and my mind to God because I know God's going to find some things. I want to reassure you of one thing. From over 25 years of walking with the Lord, God has had incredible grace to come to me and say, let's just work on this one thing. I'm not going to show you everything, but let's work on this one thing. God has not shown me everything all at one moment and said, here's the list. God says, let's work on this one thing. And once I make some progress on that one thing, God says, next on the list, without giving me the whole list. That's incredible grace given by God. Incredible grace. So I want to let you know, opening your heart and your mind to God doesn't mean that God's going to point out everything tomorrow or today. God says, I have grace, and I love you, and I have compassion. Let's just do this one step at a time. So I'm asking you, will you open your heart and mind to God and allow God to test you, try you, and examine you so that your Christian walk might be one that's better, not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of this world? Will you? Let's pray. Lord, as we look at David's prayer, we know his life and we know the stories of his life, and we say, how could he pray this? And yet you held him in high esteem. I guess, Lord, I could say that I haven't failed in the ways that David has, but I have failed. And there are places in my life that you want to sit down and talk with me about on how to improve, how to grow, how to have a better witness in this world so that other people can come to Jesus Christ and have salvation and eternal life. So Lord, help us that we might truly open our hearts and our minds to allow you to examine us and to show us where we can better be your people to help this world transform to truly be your kingdom in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.